Good morning again, everyone. God bless you and welcome. Let's get right to it. If you haven't done so already, please share the room. You know the drill, those of you being here. We want you to share the room, share it on Clubhouse, and people can see that you're here. And also, you know, invite people to join us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I hope it is well with everyone, and I certainly hope you all had a good rest. And we are here again this morning. The Lord is good. Every day, coming to His presence, the Lord is always good to us. The Bible says He openeth His hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Every living thing. Glory to God. So, as we have breath within ourselves, you know, let us use it to praise the name of the Lord. And the Lord is always good to us. Today we're going to consider this subject of, is it for my glory, saith the Lord. Now that's a question the Lord is asking. Is it for my glory, saith the Lord. So I am going to do this in two parts. And I trust that the Lord will bless us at the end of it. I'm hoping that, you know, our minds would have been illuminated to understand something better from the Lord today. So, Father, as always, we thank you that the entrance of your word, it brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be today as we share the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it for my glory, saith the Lord. Well, that's two parts to it, actually. First of all, let's see what is glory or glory of the Lord. There was a room we did a few weeks ago, which I called Beyond Superlatives of the Lord our God. And I asked people, well, you know, if I mention, you know, something about the Lord, what's the word that comes to mind? And people said different things. Now, the glory of the Lord is one thing that we talked about in that room. I want to approach it a different way today. I mean, if I'm looking at a physical object, it's easy to describe the shape. You can say, well, it's got four corners, it's got this color, and it's got that, and so forth. But how do you describe or define the glory of God? That's a difficult one, because God is glory Himself, personified, you know. It's God. Glory. That's who He is. So the beauty and the glory of God is difficult to describe. You know, Isaiah chapter 6, which we've read often in this room, you know, Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord in the temple, high and lifted up. He saw the train. And the glory of the Lord in that particular instance actually revealed to him his own worthlessness. And that's what the glory of God would do sometimes. And God, that's not God's intent, but that's the effect of it on us. You know, because His glory is it's just so immense that when we enter into that glory, it reveals to us, you know, our own, you know, just unworthiness. It's kind of like the example I often give is when you're in a room with the drapes that are closed, the sun's shining outside, you don't really see the dust particles that are flying around. They're there, but when you open the drapes and the rays of the sun shine in, then you see all those dust particles flying around. Now, it's not the rays of the sun that brought the dust particles. They were there the whole time, you just didn't see it. But the glory of the sun, when it shines in like that, actually reveals the dirt. You know, so the glory of God, Isaiah finally said, I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And the glory of the Lord like that revealed something in him, you know, that made him to see that he was nothing before the Lord. And of course, he had an encounter where one of the seraphims took the tongues of the altar, coals from the altar, and touched his lips and changed his life forever. And it became an incredible mouthpiece for the Lord that we saw in that Bible. Well, I want to read Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So that's the second part of this message, which is really what I want to focus on. Everything that the Lord does is so that he might be glorified. So that's the first punchline for this room today. Everything that the Lord does is so that he might be glorified. I mean, look at all the things that he's, proclaims here. Preaching of the gospel, healing of the sick, delivering those who are in captivity, setting people free, even healing depression, the brokenhearted, all these things, giving beauty for ashes, giving oil of joy for mourning, giving the garment of praise for heaviness, all of these things, even making people trees of righteousness, making them, bringing us into righteousness of the Lord, and all of that, making us the planting of the is so that he might be glorified. All of that is so that we might be glorified. And Jesus, many times in his speeches to the crowd, he always pointed to the Father. He would say things like, well, the Son can do nothing of himself. The Son is here not to talk of himself, but to give glory to the Father. Throughout multiple places in the Bible. I'm going to throw those out quickly, and I'm going to go to some other scriptures to bring out a valuable lesson today. John chapter 5, verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and so forth like that. The will of the Father is what he came to do. John chapter 5, the same chapter 5, we read in verse 41. Jesus said, look, I do not receive honor from men. He wasn't after honor. What he wanted to do was to give glory to God. We read also in verse 44, of the same place. He's telling them that you who are, seeking honor of one another, you do not seek the honor that comes from God. They say, well, you really can't believe. So Jesus is always trying to direct people to the honor from God, the glory from God, and so on and so forth. In the book of John, the same John, chapter 6, it's a long lesson that he gives from about verse 38 where he was talking. And the essence of what he was saying was, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Basically always pointing to, the Father. And never wanting to do anything just for showmanship. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 7, the first few verses, when some of the disciples and his own brethren were telling him, they said, look, go and show yourself to the people openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. They told him, John chapter 7, verse 4. And they said, there's no man that wants to do anything, to be known, that does it in secret. He does it openly. So they are trying to, tell Jesus that, look, the things that you are doing in secret, do it openly so you can get some glory. So you can get honor, you can get praise of men and all of this. And Jesus wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it for them like that because he had his own purpose. Now those, you know, anything that we do in our lives today, particularly those of us who are in the ministry, are we doing it for the glory of God? Or, and even in our private lives, everything we do, is it for the glory of God? That's going to be the lesson this morning. You know, right now, I'm just giving a background of how Jesus used to do his things. But let's read some things that God said in the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, the Lord says, my glory I will not, you know, give to another, neither shall I give my praise, share my glory with another, or give my praise to graven images. So this is something, you know, important to God. Now, when we steal his glory, or steal his thunder, as I like to put it, then God is not pleased. Now, I'm going to say some remarkable statements in a minute of, you know, the things that God, you know, how we ought to conduct our lives and how, you know, what the purpose, the real purpose of us being here. I mean, there are many things that we should do while we are here. But the real purpose of why we are here, let's look at what God has to say. Let's read Isaiah chapter 43, you know, and let's read verse 7. He said, look, everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him and I have made him. Everyone that is called by his name. Now, that's you who are here, because you are here because you are called by his name. The Lord said, I created you for my glory. Now, so that is the overriding purpose while we are here. Every other thing that we are doing while we are here is secondary and has got to lead to the glory of God. That's the main reason. I created you for my glory. That's it. Now, so whatsoever we do, now let me jump ahead and give you another punchline right here. So this is another punchline for this room today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. So I'm jumping ahead here just to give you that. So you mark that down as one of our punchline for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you will see even some strange thing there. Verse 31. It's talking about anything that we do. Even when you eat or when you drink and whatsoever you do. It says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all whatsoever you do. Do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do in eating, when you eat, ask yourself, is it for the glory of God? When you drink, ask yourself, is it for the glory of God? Now, if you are giving too much appetite and love to overeat and be a little gluttonous, is it for the glory of God? Now, anything else that you are doing, when you put on a dress, those of you who are women, and guys also, when you suit up, everything, when you look in the mirror, when you're trying to beautify yourself, is it for the glory of God? Or is there some other reason why you're doing it? So, you know, everything that we do, you know, if you look in the mirror and see how you're dressed, and you're going to go and appear in public, is that for the glory of God? Will that bring the glory of God? Is somebody looking at you? Will they see the glory of God when they look at you? Now, if you dress in a way that you expose yourself, is that for the glory of God? Now, anything else that we do, when we speak, when we speak harshly, when we speak words of hate, when we speak, you know, things that are uncomely, easy for the glory of God. When we speak without discretion, when we reveal matters that do not belong, I mean, that people don't need to know, and you tell them, and it's none of their concern, easy for the glory of God. I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. If we lose this principle here, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, and whatsoever you do all for the glory of God. So God will ask, is it for my glory? Well, you know, I have been through situations where the Lord actually asked me that. You know, I was praying for the growth of the church when we started our local church. And I saw that we were doing all kinds of things, working really hard, you know, doing everything with arm and leg and head and everything. And it wasn't amounting to much. And I was asking the Lord, and he said, well, is it for my glory? That was the question. Well, so when he asked me that question, I asked myself, is it for my glory? I mean, is it for the Lord's glory or for my own personal edification or my own gratification of my personal ego that, oh, we have achieved something great. We have filled the church. We are doing this great thing and all that stuff. Is it for my glory, saith the Lord? You know, so let's think about it. Everything that the Lord does that he cares about is so that he might be glorified. I'm even going to show you some things in scriptures. It may look hard, but miracles and things that Jesus did are for the glory of God. Now, when we want the sick to be healed, we want revival, and we give testimony of the great things that the Lord is doing. Is it for the Lord's glory? Or am I doing it just to show that I have some power or some faith? You know, if I am able to pray for the sick and they get healed, lay hands on the sick, they get healed. And if I want to do that, am I wanting to do that for some, you know, gratification? Or am I motivated by the glory of God? When I'm praying for God to do things, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Or is it for some other reason? Now, we got to challenge ourselves about this, because this is critical. Now, if I give a testimony, you know, of souls that are saved when I went to preach, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Or was it just to show that, you know, I know how to preach, and I know how to win souls? If I come out on the stage or like in the room like this, in clubhouse, every day to preach, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Or is it just to show that you know how to preach and you can preach every day? Is it for my glory, saith the Lord? And we can go on and on and on. I mean, let's look at some examples here in the scriptures. And then we'll see what the Lord is really telling us. But if you pay attention, engage God in the spirit, as we often say, the Lord will bring to your understanding what he wants you to know today. Glory to God. Now, before I give you those examples, I want to read one verse in Romans 11 and verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. Now, so that's the way it's got to be. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So everything is should be for him, should be through him, should be to him, and should be about his glory. And if it is not, then, you know, we may be missing something. Even the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19 and verse 1. You know, the heavens themselves, they declare the glory of God. Everything that God has made is for his glory. And there is not even, well, even the heavens cannot fully describe his glory, but they do the best they can. the heavens declare the glory of God. Psalm 19 verse 1. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Well, let's look at what Jesus said in John chapter 11. Now, you know the story. John chapter 11. When Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick. Here is his initial response. The first thing that he said when he heard that Lazarus was sick. Anybody know what Jesus said? The first thing that he said when he was told that Lazarus was sick. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. That's John chapter 11, verse 4. So that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Well, that's a strange thing to say. That, you know, somebody's sickness would be eventually for the glory of God. It wasn't the sickness that is to glorify God, but it was the end result when Lazarus will be raised from the dead. Because Jesus already knew these things. That would bring glory to God. Sickness in itself didn't bring any glory to God. But the day that the glory of God will be revealed in a person's deliverance will bring glory to God. Now, in John chapter 9, when Jesus, healed this man that was born blind, they asked him also, was it this man that sinned or his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus responded in John chapter 9, verse 3. He said, no, but are the works of God should be made manifest in. And the works of God bring him glory, as we read in Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare his glory, the firmament his handiworks, all of his works are to bring glory to God. Jesus said when he finally arrived at the graveside with Martha, graveside of Lazarus, going back to John 11, and he was speaking to her, the exchange that he had about, Jesus trying to convince, Martha that her brother would rise again. And here's what Jesus said to her, after he said, roll away the stone. And Martha said, look, Lord, by this time, it's been 4 days and he's stinking. So in verse 40 of John 11, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now, that's not exactly how Jesus said it initially, but that's how he translated everything. He summarized all of the conversation with Martha into that one sentence. What Jesus said before were, thy brother shall rise again. He said that in verse 23. And Martha said, well, I know that he will rise in the resurrection. Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth and believeth, liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he asked her, do you believe this? And then she said, yeah, I believe that you are the Christ, and so on and so forth. And you've heard me, preach about that a few times. Even when he was telling his disciples that Lazarus is now dead, but I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there to the intent that you may believe. Therefore, let us go unto him, told them in verse 15 of that verse. But Jesus is now summarizing his conversation with Martha and saying, did I not say to you, and those are not his exact words, but this was the intent of his words. So, because the letter is not the thing, but the spirit of what Jesus was saying. Now, he said, didn't I say unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? So, if you can believe that your brother is coming out of the grave, that's for the glory of God. This is what Jesus is saying. Everything that Jesus is about to do here, in this case, is for the glory of God. And so, he stood there and said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. I know you hear me always, but because of the people that stand by, therefore I'm saying it so that, they may believe. And always pointing to the glory of God. Now, even in John chapter 12, Jesus was praying. And he said, you know, when some people came and said, we want to see Jesus, we want to see Jesus. And so in John chapter 12, verse 23, Jesus answered and said, the hour is come, and the Son of Man should be glorified. And he told them of, you know, except a son, you know, a corn of wheat fall into ground and die. We read this the other day. But he dropped down here to verse 28 and said, Father, glorify thy name. So that was, you know, everything he did was directed towards that. Then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And the people therefore that stood by heard it and said that, you know, it thundered. Others said, well, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus said unto them, no, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. But Jesus' goal was that Father should glorify himself. Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if when we want to pray for the sick or do anything, the first words out of our mouth is, Heavenly Father, glorify yourself. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If that was the intent in our heart, rather than, you know, some advertisement of some great thing that the Lord is doing in our lives. You know, I mean, people bring the camera. I watched one day something on YouTube, you know, some preacher in Africa, maybe it was Nigeria or someplace. Some dead was about to be raised. I mean, there was some theatrics and everything. Cameras were lined up, you know, and everything. They brought the whole thing there, you know. And I'm like, well, I don't know. This thing might even have been staged. You know, I'm looking at it to see whether this is really for the glory of God or not. You know, and I couldn't tell whether it was for the glory of God because it looked like there was a lot of theatrics around it. You know, there was a lot of, you know, showmanship and everything. But I don't know that it was for the glory of God at all. You know, now, whatsoever you do, the scripture says, do all for the glory of God. There was a man, let me read also in John, before I go read you some other stories. In John chapter 15, even, you know, one of the greatest things we should be doing now, as the Lord is approaching, is witnessing and winning souls. We know that. But even that in itself, are we doing it for the glory of God? Or are we just doing it for the numbers? Just to say, oh, you know, we got X number of people saved today. Listen to how Jesus put it in John chapter 15. So what Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse 8. He's talking about, you know, bearing fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and so on. And he's telling us that, you know, we are the branches while he is the vine, and we should abide in him so that we can bring forth fruit. And he drops down here and says in verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye shall be my disciples. I mean, even the bearing of fruit, which can be, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, or even, as some take it, well, winning souls. Whatever the bearing of fruit is, Jesus said, it is so that my Father may be glorified. You know, so it is important for us to ask the question, is it for the Lord's glory? Whatever I'm doing, even as I'm here today, teaching this room and every day, is it for the Lord's glory? Or is it for some personal gratification? Now, when we do anything for the Lord, even witnessing and winning of souls, Jesus said, it is for my Father to be glorified. Now, so we need to check ourselves if we are aligning our hearts with that purpose, that it will be for the glory of God in all things that we do. Now, is it for my glory? Well, there was a man, even when we are praying things about what we want the Lord to do, there was a man that knew how to do this very well. His name was Hezekiah. And you've read his story. And in Isaiah chapter 37, Sennacherib, sent to ridicule them and to challenge them and so forth, to turn themselves over and submit themselves, so that they will not be destroyed. So let's pick up this story in Isaiah chapter 37. You can read the whole chapter. And everybody knows that story. But if you don't know it or you need to get more insight, you can read the whole chapter. But when Sennacherib sent Rab Shakir, what he said, and Sennacherib, when they came to chide Judah and everything, they said, look, don't let Hezekiah deceive you that the Lord is going to save you. He cannot save you. All the kings, that were, in the other nations, were they able to save themselves? They couldn't save us, They couldn't save them from the hands of the king of Assyria. We destroyed them all, So don't let, Hezekiah, say, God is going to save you. And that Jerusalem would not be given to the king of Assyria. All these, the other nations, we've destroyed them all, and so on and so forth. So Hezekiah prayed and said to the Lord in verse 15. He said, O Lord God of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib that he has sent to reproach the living God. Now, he is going to make it about God's fight and how God can get the glory. Didn't say that he has sent to reproach us, but he has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the Assyrians, the king of Assyria, have laid waste all those nations and their countries. And they have cast their gods, little g, into the fire, for they were no gods. But they were the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, listen to this. Isaiah 37 and verse 20. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand. Now, he didn't say, save us from his hand, that we perish not. Save us from his hands, Lord, that he destroy not our wives and our children, or burn down our cities, all that we have worked for. Save us from his hands, Lord, that we put us not to shame, before our enemies. Save us from his hands, and so on and so forth, that he destroy not our land, and all that. Save us from his hands, that he take us not captive. He didn't say any of that. He said, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Now, this is about giving God the glory. God getting the glory. And so he prayed it in a way, to put God in a place that, look, you get the glory for your own name. Let the whole earth know that you are the God, the very God. It wasn't so much about save us from our distress. Well, save us from our distress, we know that. But so that the people of the world may know that you are the God. In other words, so that God will get the glory. And so that the name of God will be glorified. As a matter of fact, that is the very reason why the Lord did all the things that he did concerning Pharaoh in Egypt. He said, look, you are God graced him up to get him renown, to get a name for himself. This is the reason why he did it, to show forth his power and show forth his glory. And in every place throughout the scriptures, in every place throughout the scriptures, this is how God did. Whatever he did was for his glory. So the question that we need to ask ourselves today and every day is, well, is it for the glory of God? Is it for his glory of God? When God did all these things that he did in the Bible, we know it was for his glory. Whatever we are doing today now, is it for the glory of God? Even Daniel, when he was praying in Daniel chapter 9 and aligning himself, with the sins of the people, he would say things like, look, all these things that you did in the land of Egypt, your mighty hand, you got the renown. Let's read Daniel chapter 9, verse 16, or verse 15. And now, O Lord, our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown. Renown means, the name of God is now famous. He's gotten himself glory. As this day, but we have sinned and we've done wickedly. So even Daniel, when he was talking about this, was talking about all the things that God did was for his own glory, to get himself renowned. Now today, we are always trying to get ourselves renowned. We do one thing, we want to get the whole world to know that we did it. We put it on TV, put it on YouTube, invite people to come and see what great things are happening at our church or in our lives. All of that may be good, but is it really for the glory of God? That's a question. Because underneath, this thing is very subtle, folks. Underneath, in our hearts, are we trying to steal the glory of God? Because he said, my glory will I not share with another, or give to another, or give my praise to graven images. Now, the Lord is the only one that can give us that glory if he wants to. And Jesus did. In John chapter 17, he prayed about it. I said, the glory that I had with you, I've given to them. But we can't take it. he said, no man taketh this honor unto himself. We cannot take that honor. It is God that giveth it to us. Now, the true honor is the one that comes from God. And anytime we try to take honor to ourselves, we're trying to steal God's glory. I covered this the other day when I read, from John chapter 12. Now let me go back there and read it again. John chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall my servant be also. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now this is the true honor, that, comes from God. Jesus said, look, I seek not the honor of men. It's my Father that honoreth me. Now, if we don't, let me talk even about revival. Even in the churches, I wish more leaders would listen to this. Even in our own local church, we've always wanted revival. We cry, we want revival, we want God to do great things and so on and so forth. And everybody wants it. Everybody wants to see the power of God. But in many ministers' hearts, the heart is not set right. They are wanting that revival and expecting the great move of God when they are the ones preaching. I've seen it and I've heard it, and people think that God is not moving. People will say, the power of God is not flowing unless they are the one that is preaching. They want revival, but, they assume in their minds that they will be the agents of that revival. When they are the ones preaching, when they are the ones laying hands on the sick, and when they are the ones that the sick are falling under, then they think revival has come. But when anybody else other than themselves are preaching, they don't think there can be power, and they don't think there can be glory. Well, all of that is still not for God's glory. And any group that is involved in that, their growth will be stunted at best. You will have stunted growth because it's not all about the glory of God. It's just about our thing. You know, so we need to give the glory to God. It's amazing how people love glory and love attention. Jesus said to concerning the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, look, you guys sit in Moses' seat. Well, they didn't belong there, but they take that seat anyway. You know, they sit in Moses' seat. They wear these long phylacteries and so on. That's what he just said. Read Matthew chapter 23, starting from verse 2. Read all of it. And all the things that they do is to be seen of men. He said, you do all your works in verse 5. He starts from verse 1. He said, look, they sit in Moses' seat. Then in verse 5, he said, look, they do all their works to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, all these flowing things they wear, enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the uppermost rooms at feasts. I mean, when you come to the feast, you know, there are some people that will not come when they are invited, unless they are, you know, going to be doing something. They will be, you know, I know even ministers will not go to some places if they are invited, unless they are the one that's going to speak, unless they are the ones that are going to be honored, you know, and so on and so forth. And they love greetings in marketplaces, verse 7 of Matthew 23. You know, they love to be called rabbi, pastor, prophet, you know, this and everything. We love those things, you know. And Jesus called out all these things. But finally, he said in verse 11, he that is greatest among you, if you want to be great, let him be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself, he shall be abased. You know, but people read these things in the Bible, but we don't pay attention. We just gloss over them and we move on. So the question is this today. Let's ask ourselves. Anything that I am doing, is it for the glory of God? If things I'm doing in my personal life, things I'm doing in the ministry, is it for the glory of God? Is it? I mean, check your motives. Is it for the glory of God? Now, one of the quickest ways to get God to do more things for us, even in our personal prayers, is to make it about God getting the glory. Whether it is something that you're trying to achieve in your work, in your business, in the marketplace, you may be an entrepreneur, you may be whatever. You know, God is more likely to quickly do it for you if you make it truly about Him getting the glory. And it's not just lip service. It's from the heart. But that's the other punchline. God said, look, these people, they praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, they praise him with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You know, so that means in our hearts, we are not really following after getting God the glory. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 8 says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The same thing, you know, is written in Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 13. You know, as a matter of fact, Isaiah 29 verse 13 is what was being quoted in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And their worship is vain because, you know, they made all these rules and so forth like that. But they have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. That's Isaiah 29 and verse 13. And we're not seeking the glory of God in everything we do. We say with our lips, Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But in our hearts, that we want the glory for ourselves. We don't really want the Lord to get the glory. And so we want to always be, you know, in the limelight. And everybody thinks that in order to do great things in the ministry, you got to be on the in the limelight. You got to be on stage. You got to have the mic. People got to see you. And you got to do all these things and so forth. Well, Jesus said, you have your reward. You have your reward. If you get the glory of men, you have your reward. If you give alms in order to be seen, you have your reward. If you pray in order to be seen, you have your reward. If you fast and make a long face in order to be seen, then you have your reward. I mean, everything that we do in order to be seen of men, we have our reward. You know, which may be good for the time being, because everybody says you are a great person. So you have your reward. But the true honor that comes from God is when somebody is really giving the glory to God. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. Jesus was saying to the people, he said, you know, you are hypocrites, he told them. The Lord told you to, you know, that you should honor your father and mother, but you say no. Everything the Bible says, you say otherwise. He said, well, you draw, he said, well, has Isaiah spoken of you? Because you draw nigh with your mouth, but you dishonor the Lord in your heart. And in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You know, so Jesus, the Lord, wants us to give glory to him in everything. Question that we need to ask ourselves today and every day and in everything that we do. Remember, the first punchline I gave you at the beginning, 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatsoever. Even in your eating and drinking. You know, if you, you know, and some of the younger generation, they love to go and do things, you know, party and do all of these things. When you are doing it, is it for the glory of God? Is it? Anything that you are doing, is it for the glory of God? I mean, if Jesus came at that moment, will you be excited or will you be embarrassed or will you be ashamed? Will you run and hide if Jesus saw what you were doing? I mean, if Jesus were coming to your house today, are there things in your house that you wouldn't want him to see? And so on and so forth. You know, so everything must be for his glory. Remember, Isaiah 43 and 7. I'm closing my lesson now and I'm summarizing the things I've already said. Isaiah 43 and 7 says that we were created for his glory. For his glory, we were created. In another place, he calls it for his pleasure. In the book of Revelation, chapter 4, you know, when the, you know, the elders and everybody was falling down before God and giving their accolades and they casting their crowns before him and so on. Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. The four and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. Now, casting their crowns means, look, whatever it is that we thought we gained, any accolades, any praise, any glory, even any reward that came from the Lord himself, because those crowns came from the Lord himself. Even the things that God himself can give us, we must cast it before the Lord. I mean, God makes you great. Even your greatness, you got to cast it down before the Lord. That's it. These people got these crowns, not from people. They got these crowns from the Lord. Yet they cast the crown before the Lord himself. Glory to God. Paul said it a different way. He said, look, anything that I achieve, I count it but dung. There's another word for dung, which I won't say in this room. You know, I count it but dung, that I may win the excellency of the glory of God. They cast these crowns before the Lord, and they said, thou art worthy, O Lord. And what is the first thing they say? To receive glory. And these are people who are already around the throne. And yet they are giving glory to God. This is one thing that will last forever. Working of miracles will not last in heaven. There's no miracles to be wrought in heaven. You know, there's not any of these things that we do for the Lord here on earth, you know, will get us reward in heaven, but we will not be doing those things in heaven. We will not be saving souls when we're there. We'll have to save the souls here now. Get them saved now. But this giving glory to God will continue forever. Forever and ever. This is what they do. Holy, holy, holy. They stop not night and day. Listen to verse 9 of verse 8 of that same Revelation 4. The four beasts and all these things and so forth. They stop not, you know, night and day saying, holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which was and is and which is to come. And when they give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne. You know, this thing is going on. The giving of glory to God is going on in heaven forever. The working of miracles is not. Anything else that we're doing on earth is not. Your business, you know, how great you become in your business is not going on in heaven. The one thing that's going to go on in heaven that will endure forever is the giving of glory to God. So we need to start practicing this now. Give him glory in everything. Thine is the glory, O Lord. And that for thine is the kingdom. Thine is the majesty and the power. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from thee, O Lord. And thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power. And in thy hand is might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, O Lord our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. This is how you give glory to God. And in everything we do, before you step out of the house and you see yourself in the mirror, you just look at it. Is it for the glory of God? Is it? Are you dressed to kill? Some people say dressed to kill. Well, dressed to kill. Are you dressed to kill? Or are you dressed for the glory of God? You know, and you be careful now. Let's make sure everything is for the glory of God. Whatever we do, when we want people to see how good we look, you know, is it for the glory of God? Is it? Oh, you're the one that can answer that. Can't answer it for you. When we want people to know how well we can preach, like myself, you know, I'm a preacher. I've always been a preacher to the glory of God. You know, so it's what I do. It's what I do best. Preach and teach. That's what I do best. I've been doing it for close to, I don't know, since I was 20 years old. You know, so, but is it for the glory of God? Or is it for some self-gratification? And every time I step up to the mic, such as here, is it for the glory of God? Or is it for some other reason? You know, so, and sometimes when we go into a local church, we look and we say, well, the seats are not all filled. And we say, well, we need more people. Really? Do we really need more people? Is it for the glory of God? Or is it so that our church may appear that it is growing? You know, these things are subtle, but it's all there. You know, and when there are not enough people there, we make excuses. Oh, you know, our people have traveled and this and that. Is it for the glory of God? Or is it so that we can protect our own reputation as a growing church? Everything we do, is it for the glory of God? Or is it for our own personal edification? So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pray right now. The Holy Spirit can expand the rest of it into your heart. You know, because I can go on and on and on and be saying, repeating many things, but it is enough. So let me pray over the room. This is a consecration message. It's not one of those, you know, other messages that I bring from time to time. This one is a consecration message. And everything that we want God to do for us. Is it for the glory of God? You take inventory from the beginning of the year and God's done great things for us. God will, out of compassion and out of his great love, he'll do things for us even if we are not making it his glory. He'll do it because he's a father that loves us like that. You know, but a greater goal in our lives is to seek His glory. You know, that is the greatest relationship that we can have with God, is to be fully submissive to Him and to seek His glory in everything. That's what Jesus said. I come not to glorify myself, but the Father that sent me. So, Father, we pray over this room today. I pray that this word that we have shared indeed would touch our hearts. The Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts. And I pray that you were pricked in your heart. I was pricked in my heart when the Lord challenged me with these things. That is it for my glory? Everything you want, even the expansion of the ministry. If the Lord asked me, is it for my glory? When I want to do miracles and I want to do these great things, is it for my glory, said the Lord? And yeah, God wants us to do these things, but what is the underlying motive? So, Father, you know, as the Holy Spirit pricks our hearts today, we turn our hearts towards you with repentance. We turn our hearts towards you, Lord. We ask that our lips not be the only thing that praises you, but the intentions of our hearts, deep down in our heart, which nobody else sees but God, that those intentions and those motives will be about the glory of God. And everything we do when we want to be great in life, is it about the glory of God? Even for students, I hope some students will listen to this later on. Or maybe they're here, I don't know. When you want to get the A, which you should, but the Lord said you'll be the head and not the tail. Or is it for the glory of God? Yes, it should be for the glory of God. You know, you ought to do it so that people would know that you serve a living God. Everything we do ought to be for the glory of God. And so, Father, we thank you today. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to expand and expound these things into our hearts to your own glory. And whatsoever we do, whether in meat or drink, or in word or deed, everything that we do, even in our thoughts, may the Lord direct us to make it all about His glory. Whenever we pray for anything that we want the Lord to do for us, may the Spirit of the Lord direct us to make it about His glory. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening. So let me get your reactions. That's it for today. So you know the drill. Come to the stage and give your reactions. You know, I want to hear from you. Now that you heard what I had to share, let me hear what you have to share. How has the Lord ministered to you with this lesson today? And there's a whole lot more that the Holy Spirit told you that I didn't even say. But that's how it works when you're engaging God in the Spirit. The preacher says something and the Holy Spirit gives you even more. Now that more that He gave you, you got to share it with the rest of us so that we all can also be blessed. That's why I always invite people, you know, after I give the lesson to come and share, because there's something the Lord dropped into your heart, or maybe even a testimony, or maybe something that the Lord confirmed to you, you know, why you heard the word.